people have been suggesting that the top blocks on the pyramids, and they've sort of proven it, I guess, were poured much as you would pour concrete. What do you think about that?
Okay, yeah, this is very interesting, and you're right. It is recent news. It's out of a thing called the Geopolymer Institute in France. Mm-hmm. And it's associated with the research of a guy called Joseph Davidovits, who has been suggesting for many years now that the blocks, the limestone blocks of the Great Pyramid, and there's 2.5 million of those blocks, that some or all of them may have been created as a kind of concrete, that they ground down the limestone fine, turned it into a slurry with water, poured that slurry into molds so it was easy to carry up. You needed to only carry up, you know, a jug full or a sack full at a time, pour it into molds, and those formed the blocks. Now, there's obviously been a lot of opposition to this idea over the years, but just this month there was new research published which seemed to endorse or support that view that Egyptologists have previously completely discounted. Now, My position is I haven't set my mind one way or another on this. I've climbed the Great Pyramid 5 times, and I've had the opportunity to study very closely many of the blocks, some of which are extremely eroded and broken. And what you find when you look at some of these blocks is that there are actually fossils trapped inside them. These fossils are called nummulites. And it's difficult to see how a fossil could survive the grinding up process that would be necessary to create the slurry that was supposedly poured.
All right, however, you find the slurry even on the higher blocks?
Well, you see, this is the thing, because if the suggestion is that it's only on the block, say, above 300 feet, the pyramid goes to 450 feet in height, actually originally 480 feet. If the argument is that it's only some of the blocks and not all of the blocks, then, you know, that would require further research. But my sense is, in any block where they find a fossil embedded in the rock, you're definitely not looking at concrete. You're looking at an original block. And another point, which is often missed, is that even if this turns out to be the case, that the ancient Egyptians had mastered a kind of concrete technology much earlier, concrete supposedly I think came in with the Romans, that they'd mastered a concrete technology much earlier than that. There are still huge issues about how they moved enormous stones. For example, in the heart of the Great Pyramid, you have the so-called King's Chamber.
Right.
And although the majority of the Great Pyramid is indeed made out of limestone blocks weighing around 2 tons each, you find in the King's Chamber blocks of granite. And these granite blocks weigh up to 70 tons each, so, you know,
wow.
7,000 kilograms each. And there are hundreds of these blocks. And these definitely were not the result of some kind of concrete technology. We can say exactly where these blocks came from. They came from quarries in Aswan, about 500 miles south of Giza, and they must have been brought on the Nile River on gigantic boats up to Giza. So whether or not the smaller blocks were created by concrete, we still have to deal with the problem of how the ancient Egyptians managed to lift blocks of pure granite weighing 70 tons to heights of hundreds of feet above the ground and position them perfectly in place to construct this extraordinary geometrical puzzle called the King's Chamber. So I think the concrete argument is extremely interesting. It may provide an answer to the enormous scale. I mean, 2.5 million blocks of stone is an awful lot of blocks of stone to lift and carry. If they could have poured most of them, that would have made their lives a whole lot easier. But it still doesn't solve the problem of how they lifted these gigantic blocks, for example, the granite blocks that I've just mentioned.
Well, as you know, Zahi would be very happy to hear you say that, and I'm sure he's at the very least chafing a great deal at these recent stories.
Well, if I know Zahi, and I've got to know him better over the years, you know, he's not going to flatly resist scientific evidence which is being endorsed by other credentialed scientists, and that does seem to be the case here. There are other credentialed scientists have joined Davidovits and have said, look, at least some of these blocks are poured from a kind of concrete. And if they are, I don't think it, as I say, I don't think it changes the mystery very much. It just says, okay, here's something new that we know about the ancient Egyptians. But it's still those fossils, which I personally have seen with my own eyes in the heart of broken blocks, which say to me that certainly not all of the limestone blocks on the Great Pyramid were created this way.
Do you have any guesses, Graham, about how they, in fact, did get the obviously real blocks up to where they were? I mean, nobody scientifically has ever said how it happened.
No, it's never been done. I mean, the Egyptologists present us with this almost comic vision of, you know, tens of thousands of people hauling blocks on, you know, at the end of ropes.
Yes.
But really, human labor cannot, you know, cannot haul a block weighing hundreds of tons, or even tens of tons, on a slope more than 10 degrees. And if you want a 10 degree slope to reach the 300 feet up where the King's Chamber is, then that ramp, so-called ramp, is going to need to extend back nearly a mile into the desert, and is actually going to involve more material in its construction than is found in the Great Pyramid itself. Which sort of defies, you know, defies belief, really.
So then, really, it's your position that a technology that we still don't understand was used.
Yeah, definitely. I find that feeling reinforced every time I revisit the Great Pyramid, and I was back inside and all over the Great Pyramid in June this year. That there is something completely extraordinary and inexplicable about that gigantic monument. And, you know, no matter how much our scientists want to reduce all mystery in the world to nothing, they just can't do it with the Great Pyramid. It keeps on presenting them with challenges that cannot be solved. And those challenges are in your face. They're right there. You climb above the King's Chamber into the so-called relieving chambers above it, five chambers above the King's Chamber, and along the floor of each of those, a row of gigantic 70-ton granite blocks placed perfectly in position with unbelievable precision. You know, what it says to you in a very quiet, understated way is actually you are looking at something impossible here, at least impossible in terms of our technology today. So, yes, I do think the ancient Egyptians were masters of a technology. I very much doubt if it involved mechanical advantage and the way that we do things today. The ancient Egyptians explored the spiritual dimensions of the human mind, perhaps more consistently than any other culture on the face of this earth. And I think they harnessed, this is just a hunch, I can't prove this, but it's just where my own reflections have taken me, that they harnessed some kind of energy of consciousness, some other way to use the human mind than the way we use it today.